All right. I'll speak from a local perspective, even though I know not everyone who's joining us right now lives in our neighborhood. But for many of us, this Shabbos will be the first opportunity to hear Kriyas HaTorah in quite some while. And I often point out that coming out of Shavuos, every year Parshas Naso falls out right after Shavuos. In Eretz Yisrael, they already read Parshas Naso. Here in Chutz La'aretz, we'll read it this Shabbos. And it's almost an ironic, it's an ironic sort of thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us. And you come out of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and Hashem says, "I want you now to enter into the biggest parsha in the entirety of the Chumash, 176 psukim." And Hashem says, "You know, you came to me on Shavuos, or wherever we were this year for Shavuos, and we said to Hashem, 'Hashem, we love your Torah. We want to receive your Torah. We want to be mekabel your Torah. We're excited about your Torah.'" So Hashem, in a certain sense, I pointed this out in the past, I think Hashem on a certain level is testing us after Shavuos, and he says, "Oh, you love Torah so much? Let's see how much you love Torah." Hashem says, "I want you to try the biggest parasha of all, 176 psukim. Let's see how much you really love Torah. Let's see if the words that you spoke on Shavuos to me about your love for me and my Torah are actually true." But for those of us who are going to hear Birchas HaTorah for the first time in a long time this Shabbos, I think it's a double challenge and it's a double test. You know, many of us have felt very disoriented not being in shul, especially on Shabbos. Maybe some of us have gotten used to it by now. But certainly there was a very strange feeling we felt at the beginning of not being able to hear Kriyas HaTorah, to see our beloved Sifrei Torah. And now, Baruch Hashem, for many of us, again locally, we'll have the opportunity to, in a safe way, to get back to that, to get back to Kriyas HaTorah this Shabbos. So I think it's the same challenge. It's Hashem saying to us, "Oh, you love Kriyas HaTorah so much. You missed Kriyas HaTorah." Hashem says, "Let me see how much you actually love Kriyas HaTorah." As we read 176 psukim this Shabbos. So I hope, I bless us, that we'll be able to rise to both of those challenges. It's a long parsha. There are many themes in the parsha. And I was talking to a friend of mine in Eretz Yisrael. And this goes back about a week ago, right before Shavuos. And he said to me, he said, "You know, we were discussing very honestly, talking openly with each other." He was talking about feeling a little bit stuck in his avodas Hashem, in particular in his growth with regard to Torah, his relationship with learning, with Talmud Torah. And I said to him, "One of the ways that I sometimes try to get myself out of such a rut is to just read the Torah in a fresh way." I said, "Sit down, pick up a chumash, and just read the psukim and think. Give yourself permission before you look at Rashi, you be Rashi. Think of something, come up with a chiddush." And he sent me this beautiful chiddush, and I want to share it with you tonight as the introduction to what I want to share tonight. He sent me the following chiddush. Again, our parsha is filled with a lot of topics. You have the Isha Sota, followed by the Nazir, followed by Birchas Kohanim, followed, of course, by the Nesiim, who bring their Karbanos over and over again, starting with Shevet Yehuda, ending with Shevet Naphtali. Rashi wonders and famously quotes the Gemara about the Smichas HaParshios. Why is the Isha Sota followed by the Nazir? It's the Gemara's question in Sota Daf Beis. And of course, Rashi answers, based on the Gemara, Shekola roe sota bekilkula yazir atmo min hayayin, that anyone who sees the Isha Sota, this adulterous woman in her disgrace, will recognize that maybe in her drunkenness she came to do this terrible Avera, and such a person will say, "I want to become a Nazir, Yazir Atmo min hayayin." There's a lot to talk about on that Gemara and that Rashi, but Rashi wonders again about the connection between the Sota immediately followed by the Nazir. So my friend Yonatan Pesach from Eretz Yisrael asked the question. He said, "What's the connection between the Isha Sota, this egregious crime, this terrible Avera, this adulterous woman whose immoral activity puts her life on the line, and certainly her marriage on the line, what's her connection to Naso, to the Nesiim, which is the bulk of the parsha, where we read the Nesiim over and over and over again?" And he offered the following answer, which I think is a beautiful answer. He says, the Nesiim, of course, one of the lessons that we get from the Nesiim, but to make the connection to Sota is really his Chiddush. One of the beautiful lessons of the Nesiim is that as Torah Jews, we have to find ways to overcome boredom. We have to find ways to find newness in old experiences. The Nesiim bring the same karban over and over and over again. 12 Nesiim, karban, karas kesef achas. We all know the laning. Shlosh rumeya mishkala, and again and again and again. We read it each time. Why not just say, Here are the 12 tribal leaders. Here are their names. And here was the carbon that they all brought, the same amount, the same one, the same carbon. And yet each time it mentions the tribe, it mentions the name, and it does again, Karbano, Karas Kesef Achash, Shloshim Me'ah, Mishkala. And it goes through each time, over and over again. And Chazal and the Rishonim see in that an amazing lesson. That you could have people doing outwardly the same thing, and each one does it in their own way. Or you could have the same person doing the same experience over and over again, davening the same Shmona Esrei three times a day, year after year after year after year, for decades of a lifetime, and somehow finding newness in that bracha. Because the Refa'enu of yesterday is not the Refa'enu of today. And the Baruch Aleinu of my job yesterday is maybe different than the Baruch Aleinu as I take on a new job today. So the opportunity to find newness in old experiences is captured so beautifully, so poignantly, by the message of the Nesi'im. The same carbon over and over again, but each one did it in their own way. The opposite end of that spectrum, my friend in Eretz Yisrael suggested, is the Isha Sota. Here is a woman who's bored with her marriage, Rachmana Litzlan. She's become bored with her husband, and she's decided to look elsewhere to try to fill that void. And of course, she gets herself a horrible act of, again, a foolish decision, which again, Chazal see maybe coming from a place of drunkenness. Only a shota could be a sota, as the Gemara makes a play on words. And she puts her marriage, again, she puts her life on the line. So the lesson, the comparison, as it were, in the parsha between the Nesi'im, who show us that you can have the same thing over and over again and do it in a fresh way. You can read a pasuk in Chumash that you've heard so many times and find newness in it. You can do a mitzvah again. You can dive in the same paragraph of a Shmona Esrei and find a new way to express yourself through that tefillah. That's the lesson of the Nesi'im. The Isha Sota is the very opposite. A woman who's bored with her marriage, she's bored with the same experiences, and she tries to find, you know, some cheap way to have a new experience. And of course, it's terribly destructive. Such a beautiful insight. I want to add on to it something I started to develop slightly last night. And again, in the Maharal Shir, the idea was sort of formulating. I still don't have it perfectly formulated. But the Maharal last night, and I apologize for those who learned it already last night, but the Maharal quoted such a beautiful Medrash last night. At the end of the third parak of Tiferes Yisrael. The Medrash of a poor villager who marries a princess, and how no matter how much he tries to supply her with all of her desires, there's nothing he can do to really satisfy her because she's a princess and he's a pashut, a villager. So he gives her all the madane melech, he gives her all the finest things in the world, but nothing can really satisfy the cravings of this princess. And the Maharal used it to describe the craving of a Jewish soul for more Torah and for more mitzvos, that there's nothing that we can do to satisfy that void in our life other than to keep feeding ourselves Torah and mitzvos. Maybe, just maybe, building again on my friend's insight, maybe you could say that one of the reasons that we read Parshas Naso and we read about the Isha Sota after the Yom Tov of Shuas is because we ourselves are grappling with that same concern. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to marry us on Shuas. Yes, Kafaleim Harke Gigas, there's the image of the mountain over our head as a threat, but there's also the image in Chazal of a mountain overhead as a chuppah. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I want to marry you. And it's a strange shidduch. And it's hard to imagine that we're ever going to be able to find meaning in that shidduch. Or that Hashem's going to want to stay married to us. Hashem's going to have to look elsewhere. He's going to get bored of us. And yet the message of the Isha Sota that we read this Shabbos, coming out of Yom Tov of Shuas, is that no, it's a terrible thing for a woman to become bored of her husband, to be bored of her marriage, to look elsewhere, to try to fill the void that she feels in her relationship. That's not the answer. The answer is the Nesi'im. The answer is to find a way to experience old things in a new way. Kabbalah Satorah and Shavuos means what? We got the Torah for the first time. We've had the Torah for thousands of years. But we get it in a new way. And we try to find new meaning in that experience. And we realize that, yes, on the one hand, it's a shidduch that doesn't really make much sense. And yes, on the one hand, no matter how much we try to please the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is this feeling, this insecurity that we have as the villager married to the princess. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but don't become an Isha Sota. Don't give up on this relationship. Continue to invest in this relationship. A lot of people, and again, I hope we're getting closer and closer to the end of talking about coronavirus and talking about kind of the current state of affairs, but a lot of people are really burnt out. And you see it in the way that people are acting, and I'm not here to pass judgment. A lot of people are really bored. I talk to a lot of people and they're bored, they're just tired of it, they're burnt out. And they're looking for something new, they just want to experience anything new, something new, just a change of scenery. It's so desperately desired. And there's a very simple challenge that we face when we become bored. We feel that life has become monotonous, when we don't know how to find that freshness that the Nasiim are able to find, again, bringing the same carbon over and over, each one in their own way. Boredom sometimes comes when there's too much time on our hands. I hear it from a lot of younger children, not just my own, but a lot of younger children, they're bored. You know, school, as much as they love getting out of school when they're in school, but now that they're out of school, they would love to go to school, just to have a little stability in their life. Being busy is a bracha. And we know the danger of a person who has too much free time on their hands. I want to learn together, for a couple of moments, another drasha from Rav Pam. I mentioned, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a drasha from Rav Pam from 1981, when we spoke about Mishkal HaChasidus. Rav Pam, in 1984, in a drasha for Parshas Noach, spoke about something which is going to resonate so clearly and evident, it's so evident to us, how relevant it is in light of everything that's been happening in America and around the world, in particular this past week. The title of the drasha, as it's printed in English, is The Gift of Time. And he's commenting on the pasuk in Parshas Noach, Vatishaches ha'aretz lefnei elokim, vatimalei ha'aretz chamas. Vatishaches ha'aretz lefnei elokim. A world that had become destroyed before God, and a world that was filled with chamas, filled with robbery. I have to just mention parenthetically, just to prove to us once again, how alive the Torah is, and how informative the Torah is, and what's happening in world events. I realized this week, Rashi in this week's Parsha, what is the bracha of Birchas Kohanim? Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha? Anyone get up to it in this week's Parsha yet? Rashi says, Yivarecha Hashem. It's amazing. Rashi says, Yivarecha Hashem means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you with possessions. V'yishmerecha, listen to these words. Shelo yavo alecha shodedim litol mamoncha. That the looters shouldn't come to take your stuff. Mamish, the bracha of the Kohanim, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. You should be blessed with possessions. You should build up your business. And after years of building up your business, some thug shouldn't come and throw a rock through your window. And Rashi says that Hashem says, Yivarecha, I will bless you, I will give you v'yishmerecha. And I will guard your possessions. I will watch over your business. I will watch over your home. I will watch over your possessions. Amazing. Just, again, the Hashkacha Pratis of the Torah speaking to us in real time. But going back to the Dor HaMabel, Vatishaches Haaretz Lefnei Elokim, a world that had lost itself, had lost its awareness of God, and because it comes so lost. What happened? So Rav Pam explained in 1984. Look at the end of Parshas Bereishis. Why was Noach called Noach? How did Noach? Vayikra Shemo Noach, Lemech called his son Noach, Lemor, Ze yinachamenu ma'aseinu, u'me'itzvon yadeinu min adama asher eira Hashem. Noach is going to bring nechama. Noach is going to bring peace of mind. From what? Mima'aseinu mi'itzvon yadeinu. Rashi Chazal explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had cursed the earth, going back to Adam HaRishon. And now, with Noach's birth, Rashi explains that the curse of Adam was beginning to abate. It was starting to slowly, the earth itself was starting to be more responsive to man. So therefore, with Noach's birth, it was as if the curse of Adam Rishon on a certain level was starting to let up. And that was a nechama. And Noach's name reflected that nechama. That's Rashi. The Medrash Tanchuma says that Noach actually was someone who created tools to be able to work the earth. Chazal seemed to understand that Noach came up with the concept of the plow in order to seed the earth. Noach came up, he was the first one to create an axe in order to fell trees. Noach had this ability to make what? To make the manual labor that people literally were doing with their bare hands much easier. And that was a big bracha. So when Noach was born, they said, Baruch Hashem, right? They predicted this is going to be, this one is going to, yinachamenu ma'aseinu mi'itzvon yadeinu, from the pain of our hands. Imagine trying to plow a field with your bare hands. Noach made tools. What a gift. What an amazing gift. But explained Rav Pam in 1984, but you have to understand what a danger that is. Because if work is easier and you have more free time, there's a terrible danger that what am I going to do with all that free time? What am I going to do if all that energy gets, if I can't find a way, like we were learning in the Maharal this week, what am I going to do if I have all this energy and I don't know how to use it in a productive way? Even physical malacha, like that Gemara in Sanhedrin that some of us learned together. What's going to happen? And the answer is very simple. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Vatimalei ha'aretz chamas. People are going to run wild. The world is going to be filled with robbery, with looting. Being busy is such a bracha. Feeling like I don't have anything to do with my life, being bored is such a klala. The Gemara in Sanhedrin writes on Daf Kuf Ches Amar Aleph, Tanu Rabbanon, Dor HaMabul Lo Nizgo, El Bishvil Shehashpia Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Dor HaMabul, because of the bracha that they had, too much free time, that's what caused them to become haughty and to rebel against Hashem. There's a danger of a person having too much free time. It's a bracha to be busy. The Mishnah in Ksubis tells us that a woman who has, whose husband is a wealthy man, and he provides his wife with many maidservants to help out around the home, even Meya Shvachos, she still needs to find some way to keep busy. Because the Mishnah acknowledges a reality in Ksubas Daf Nun Tesamud Beis, again it speaks to the story of the Isha Sota, that Batala Mevia Lidei Shiamum, Batala Mevia Lidei Zima, that Batala, doing nothing, being bored, leads to what? Leads to Zima, leads to lewd behavior. Or Batala, doing nothing, leads to Shiamum, leads to boredom. An existential boredom that could be so damaging and so destructive. And listen to what Rav Palm wrote, or shared, in that drasha in 1984. In America, in the early part of the 1900s, I'm reading from this English volume of drashos from Rav Palm called The Pleasant Way. Page 32. In America, in the early part of the 1900s, most workers had to labor 14 hours a day in a 6 or even 7 day work week just to put bread on the table. The sweatshops employed young children who were paid a pittance for their exhausting labors. People had to work to survive as there were none of the many social welfare programs that exist today. Yet crime rates were much lower than in our times. There was little, if any, free time, and the exhausted workers were only too happy to fall into bed at night, knowing that they would have to be back at work early the next morning. There was a tremendous work ethic. Then the labor unions began to form, often controlled by socialists and Bundists, who decried the terrible injustice of human beings working like beasts of burden. They would stand on their soapboxes on street corners delivering impassioned speeches to masses of the oppressed. They organized strikes and boycotts and little by little achieved results. I know you tuned in for Torah, not for political commentary, so try to hear it as Torah, not political commentary. The workday was gradually shortened, as was the work week, and labor conditions in general improved. Child labor was forbidden, and paid vacation and sick leave were introduced. And we like these things. We're all supportive of these things on a certain level. In our time, the 5-day, 40-hour work week is the norm, and the trend is to make it even shorter. And of course, this is Rav Palm in 1984. Yet the bitter fruits of these otherwise magnificent social advancements has been a towering rise in crime and immorality. And the more leisure time people have, the more degenerate they become. And Rav Palm saw this as a tremendous danger. He saw it in the pasuk in Chumash. Vatishacheis ha'aretz lefnei Elokim, vatimalei ha'aretz chamas. What do we do? Why are people looting now? And again, I know it's more complex than that. I'm not making light of any of the racial tension. And again, I have thoughts on all of these things. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Torah is warning us through the sugya of Parshas Naso, don't become an Isha Sota. Don't become bored with something that's good in your life. Be like a Nasi who's able to do the same avoda with a sense of diligence and commitment day in and day out. In the 1870s, as Eretz Yisrael started to be settled once again, through the efforts of many pioneers and the financial support of Baron Rothschild, one of the big questions that was dealt with at that time is what's going to be with Shemitah? And on the one hand, to take off for a year seemed crazy for Shemitah. At the same time, here was the first opportunity in so long for many to see the fulfillment of the bracha of Chumash, which is what Hashem promises, I'll provide for you during Shemitah. And there were many questions, what to do? Should we look for heterim? Should we look for leniencies? Heter mechira? All sorts of different things. It was debated by the greatest minds of the generation. Everyone thinks like Rav Kook was the one who, you know, was advocating in a certain way. And right, there were many gedolim on both sides of the equation, what to do about the land and what to do about Shemitah. Should we look for loopholes? Should we throw our trust on HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the Psukim promise us at the end of Chumash Vayikra? The Nitziv in a tshuva in the Meshev Davar, in the second volume, in Simen Nun Vav, the Nitziv felt we should trust in the promise of Hashem. not only because it's an opportunity to see Hashem's promise come true, but the Netziv said an amazing thing. Only a Gadol Hador like the Netziv could say such a thing. He said, you know what else I'm very nervous about? He said, in considering, yes, I believe we have to rely on the bracha of Hashem, but the Netziv was so sensitive to an aspect of the equation that others didn't even raise at all. And that is, what are the farmers going to do for a year when they take off from work? I believe the bracha of Hashem is going to come true. Right? We don't need to look for a tayr. I know the situation is very tenuous. I know it's a delicate situation. We're just beginning to rebuild the land, and the thought of taking off a year sounds crazy. Hashem's going to supply bracha. But then the Netziv said, but we also have to come up with a plan. What are the farmers going to do with all their free time? Not all of them are ready to sit and learn in Kolel 24/7. So the Netziv considered the danger, the very real danger, in weighing the halachic considerations of maybe it's better to find a loophole and let them farm. There's a danger of a person being bored. There's a danger of a person having too much free time. The Piazetzner Rebbe in his Derech HaMelech on Chumash and Parshas Ekev, interestingly enough, references a medrash in this week's parsha, Parshas Naso, on the words Vayihi b'yom chalos Moshe. As the Nesiim bring their karbanos, it's described right after what it says on the day that Moshe finished building the Mishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan. What does Vayihi mean? Who knows what the word Vayihi means? Whenever we see the word Vayihi, Vayihi is always a code word for what? For something ominous, something negative. Vayihi, says the Medrash, Vay Bayom Kalos Moshe. Woe to the day that Moshe finished building the Mishkan. What's so bad about finished building it? It's a Gevaldik day. It's a big celebration. But the Medrash explains a mashal of a man who married a woman who gave him a lot of trouble. A melech who married a woman who was a warrior, and she was always, you know, chepering him with all sorts of things. So he gave her some type of project to work on. And when she finished the project, at her husband's request, he said, oy vey, she finished the project, says the Medrash. So she says, I don't understand, you asked me to do this for you. Why are you saying, oy vey, I did a good job? He said, I know, but while I kept you busy, then you left me alone, you weren't bothering me with all of your, you know, complaints against me. Now that you're done with your work, I'm worried that it's going to be bad for our shalom bias. We're going to start fighting a lot. Says the Medrash, believe it or not, Kach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as you were busy building the Mishkan, great, you kept busy. But now, says the Medrash, now that you finished building the Mishkan, I'm worried, Vayihi b'yom chalos Moshe. Oy, to the day that Moshe finished building the Mishkan. What's everyone going to do with their free time now? Being busy is a bracha. He explains the Piyah Zetzner Rebbe. He quotes that Gemara, that Mishnah that I mentioned in Meseches Ksubis, Shabbatola mevia lidei shiyamum. When you don't have something to fill your life with in a productive way, again, even if it's just a 14-hour work week, 6 days a week, like Rav Palm was describing, then God forbid a person gets oneself into trouble. Yes, you can enter into the world of lewd and immoral behavior, destructive behavior, negative behavior. But says the Piazetzner Rebbe, even a person who's not entirely batel, but his avoda is within his hands to decide what to do and when to do. When I'm working from home, when minyan becomes optional, when learning becomes, you know, haphazard, right? When school is all over the place. So says the Piazetzner Rebbe, there's an awesome danger that comes with that. And therefore, being an Eved Hashem, he says, Ha'ish mochrach lios nitvas kulo ba'avoda. Amazing line. An Eved Hashem means being an Eved, always being a worker. Again, like some of us have been learning in the Maharal, to be an Amel, to be a person who's always busy. When Avodas Hashem is a choice, when it's optional, there's such a danger. So there's a bracha that we feel now, a little bit of societal, religious pressure to get back to Minyan, and to get back to Kriyas HaTorah. And again, we look at the contrast between the Isha Sota, who's straying from her husband, coming out of the renewing of our vows, so to speak, at Har Sinai on Shavuos. And we look at what's happening as the world is burning and being destroyed by people who don't know what to do with their emotions and what to do with their energy and don't know how to direct it in a positive way. Or because people have been trapped indoors for so long that the quarantine got to a point where I just want to go out in the street and break things and destroy things, and to do so under the guise of maybe, you know, social justice or whatever it may be. Right? We have an opportunity to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're going to do differently. We're going to come back to Shul. We're so excited. 176 Psukim this Shabbos, Gevaldik. Getting back to Minyan, if it means getting up a little bit earlier and reminding my children that they can actually also get out of bed a little bit earlier if I have to get my bar mitzvah age, you know, high schoolers to Minyan. I know it's a struggle for some people. Right? Maybe we've slept in a little too much. For some of us, again, it's an opportunity to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu we know what to do with all of our free time. And we're not bored in the slightest. I conclude tonight with a story from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, a beautiful story about the sensitive gadol that Rav Shlomo Zalman was. Rav Shlomo Zalman had a neighbor in Shari Chesed. His name was Rothman, was the family name. And this fellow was a bit older than Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was in a nursing home, in the Neve Simcha nursing home in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Shlomo Zalman came with his grandson one time to visit this Mr. Rothman. And Mr. Rothman was sleeping at the time. Rav Shlomo Zalman came in, he poked his head into his room, he saw Mr. Rothman was sleeping. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says to his grandson, go tell Mr. Rothman that we want to speak with him. So he says, Zaida, don't you see? Rothman's sleeping. So he says, go wake him up. He says, wake him up. He's not a young person. He needs his rest. Maybe he's not feeling, I don't know, he's sleeping. You can't just wake him up. Rav Shlomo Zalman says to his grandson, you wake him up or I'm going to wake him up. You wake him up or I'm going to wake up. So the grandson, okay, Zaida, you say, I'll wake him. So he goes over to Mr. Rothman and he wakes up. He's a little bit groggy. He puts on his glasses. And Shlomo Zalman says, hi, it's Shlomo Zalman from the neighborhood. I'm here to visit you. Oh, Shlomo Zalman, okay. You know, he starts to wake up a little bit. He comes to. And they engage in some conversation. They said that Mr. Rothman was visited by a relative. He saw him eating that afternoon. And he said, he kept saying over and over to him, he said, ah, Shlomo Zalman is a zaygut. He's a zaygut. He's so good. He's so good. Shlomo Zalman explained to his grandson. When his grandson said to him, Zaida, why am I waking up? He needs to rest. Shlomo Zalman said, you're wrong. He's not sleeping because he's tired. He's sleeping because he's bored. He's sleeping because he's bored. Wake him up, you'll see. He'll be so happy to know that he has a guest. And this fellow, this Mr. Rothman, sat at lunch that day, and he kept saying over and over again, Shlomo Zalman's a zaygut. He knows. He knows that when people come to visit me and I end up sleeping through their visit, it's not good for me. I feel worse. I want to be woken up. I want to be engaged. I want to have something to do. I want to feel like I'm not an invalid stuck in a bed in a nursing home. Shlomo Zalman understood that need of a human being to want to be engaged in everything, in conversation, in activity, to feel alive, but in a healthy and positive way. So, Mirtz Hashem. Hashem should help us to embrace the opportunity of Parshas Naso, to learn the lesson of the Isha Sota and the Nesiyim, and to be Jews who find ways to be productive, healthy, positive members of society, who always have what to do, who are never bored of Torah and mitzvos, never bored of even manual labor, which is so important to just be involved in positive activities. And Amir Tzashem, in some small way, will be able to continue to build Hashem's world, and not, God forbid, to fall into the destructive nature of everything that's going on around us in the world today. Have a wonderful night. Don't forget to daven Arev. And thanks for learning with me. Amir Tzashem tomorrow night, 8:30, for those who are interested. Have a great night.